2 Kings chapter 6. Everybody has this. We all have problems. And some people have problems and they don't even know that they have them. Some people have problems and they think that their problems are too big. Some people have problems and they blame it on other people. And they say, if I just get rid of that person, that problem would just go away. Some people say, I have these problems and I want you to solve them. Or someone else to solve them. And we see that a lot now, given the current conditions and current situation we have in the world. But you know, everybody has problems. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says that we're supposed to cast all of our fear on Him, all of our problems, for He cares for us. Philippians 4, 6, which I pray, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, be made known, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we try to control our problems, but sometimes our problems control us. We try to solve our problems within our own resources and realize that some things are just bigger than us. We are talking about, we will all have problems. They may be the result of God's judgment. They may be a test to draw us closer to God. But whatever the case may be, a Christian can use any sort of problem to draw closer to God. We studied the book of James. And James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Those are events or problems in our lives to draw us closer to God. Sometimes our problems, we don't feel very joyful about them right now. Okay? But the issue is that James got it. He said, look, God's bigger than these things. And count it all joy because this is an opportunity to show genuine faith. In verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. And I know that there are some trying people in everybody's life. I know that there are trying circumstances in everybody's life. And sometimes that just puts you in the flesh, or sometimes that try to get you down. But James says it's knowing this. We should know this. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, I don't need patience. Oh, yes, you do. You just proved it. You say you don't need it, you need more. Okay? It's all their fault. No. You have an issue and it's everybody else's fault except you, you have a problem. You have a problem. In verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Not without error, but complete. And then wanting, or better said, lacking nothing. See, God wants to make us into the measure of a full man. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to have the whole armor of God, that we can fight these spiritual battles that He talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. He wants us to so much depend on God that God is our go-to person when we have problems. So tonight, I want to talk about problem solving God's way.
Amen.
Problem solving God's way. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Probably a familiar passage. But Elijah has replaced Elijah. And he's got an entourage. There are some student prophets that are being mentored. And they have an issue. And they have a problem. And we can see this problem in the first 7 verses. And it says this. The Bible says this. As sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold now, The place where we dwell with thee is too straight or too small or too narrow for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling or chopping down a tree, a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God, Elijah, said, where fell it? Where did it go into the water? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it into the, and thither, and the iron did swim. No magician can do that, but God's power can do that. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. So several things I want to show. These sons of the prophet, these student prophets basically, the ones that Elijah was mentoring, they had a problem. And the issue is the first thing in God's problem solving is that we need to understand that a problem exists. When nothing's happening in your life, there's probably a problem there. You don't know that it exists. A problem here says, hey, there's not enough room for us. We can't social distance. Not if we put on all these masks. There's no way we can live together here. And surprise, they probably all smelled a little bit too. But the issue here is that they had a problem. And they recognize, and you need to understand that we need to recognize that a problem to exist. Because that's the first issue. In Proverbs chapter 26, 20 verse 13, the Bible says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. I guarantee you there will be no bread on your table unless you realize there's no bread in the house. And there'll be nothing done about that if you don't ever wake up and open your eyes. Well, that sounds kind of obvious. But there are people that go through life with problems and they say, that's not my problem. But it is. At least these guys, these sons of the prophets, realize, hey, we got an issue here. We got an issue. And we have to deal with this because it's having an impact on our lives. And we need to understand, just like James wrote, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. These things come in our lives to impact our lives, to draw us closer to God. These people were trying to learn about God and do this, and they wanted an environment in which they could do that. And so the first thing in God's problem-solving process is, first of all, recognize that a problem exists. We need to be like David, where he says, search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Try my thoughts. And we need to have the mind of Christ. So the first thing is recognize that there's a problem. I said, behold now, the place where we're dwelling right now is too small. Now, the second part. It's one thing to recognize that a problem exists. It's another thing to take ownership of it. There's a lot of times that, and you might see it at work, you might see it in your family, hey, we need to do this, but we don't mean me.
Yeah.
Okay? They rhyme. But we have to do it. But don't ask me to get involved. Don't ask me to solve this problem. Folks, I can't solve your problems. I can give advice. But your problem is your problem. And my problems are my problems. And we need to take ownership of them. We are true. It says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But just like a school teacher, you don't want your parents doing your kids' work, because they'll never learn anything. Remember what trials do? Is to get us closer to God. So the issue is we just need to step up and own the problem. The sons of the prophets say, hey, this place is too small, but Elijah, we're going to send it to you. And we want you to solve the problem. No, they said, it's our problem. We need to take ownership of it. A couple of weeks ago, we preached in a message, we talked about the issue of David making a census. And he wasn't supposed to do that. And people said, that's not really a good idea, David. And so they go and they do it. And then when he comes, and when they get all done with it, the prophet Gad comes to David and says, look, what you did displeased God. You have a problem. And folks, our problems do impact others. Our actions do impact others. And we need to recognize that too. And so the issue is, it said, what you did basically didn't glorify God. And now you have to make a choice because of your problem. And since you did this, you have to make the choice. And David said unto Gad, and the choice was, you want famine, or you want enemies, or you want the short, painful way of pestilence. And he picked the pestilence thing. But before he picked the choice, David said again, I am in a great strait. I'm between a rock and a hard place. He had to recognize that the problem was his problem. And that now he's going to have to make a choice to deal with it. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So see, the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize the problem. The sons of the prophets say, hey, we don't have enough room. And then they own up to it. It says, let us go, in verse 2, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. See, they recognize what the problem is, and they said, okay, we're going to own it. We're going to own it. Folks, there are ministries in this church that are just waiting to be done. And because we're not doing the ministries, that's really a problem. And people say, well, we need to do this, or we need to do that. But don't ask me to do this. No, 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 no. If you see the problem, maybe you're the solution. Maybe you're the solution. So the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize that a problem exists in the first place. The second thing we need to do is we need to own our problems. The third thing is check out your solution with God's will. It's a very interesting thing here. In verse 2, they said, let us go, we pray thee. What they're asking for here is they're asking for Elijah's permission to go do this. Okay? And it says, and he answered, Elijah said, go ye. You know, oftentimes And I think we're all guilty of this to some extent. We basically have a problem, we solve it, and then we go back to God and we say, hey, was that a good solution? Instead of saying, Lord, I have this problem, I want to do this, I want to go this way, is this the right way to go? You know, people always talk about, how can I know what God's will is? I guarantee you two things. That God's will is going to be in accordance with God's Word. And God's will is going to be in accordance with God's Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't fill people like they do, like He does now. The Holy Spirit was put down on specific people at specific times for specific purposes. And the man of God here, Elijah, represented God. He was the authority, just like Samuel. Just like Moses. Just like Joshua. And so they came to the man of God and said, Elijah, this is our problem. It is our problem. This is what we want to do. Can we go do it? I think we would be a lot better off. I know we would be a lot better off if when we came up with a problem and we see a possible solution, we pray over it. Or we get some counselors about it. Because Proverbs says in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And so they come to Elijah here and he says, and he answered, go ye. In James chapter 4 verse 15, James gives a warning. He says, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall, look at this, we shall live and then do this or that. Actually, it's to examine the solutions, to examine the possible paths and see which is the right way to go. There may be two possible solutions. There may be multiple possible solutions. And if you can't figure out which one makes more sense, pray to God about it. Because God has a perfect will and He has a permissive will. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to live our lives in God's perfect will. So God's problem solving, the first step is recognize your problem exists. The second step is to own your problem. And the third step is when you see the problem and you come up with a solution to it, does it go with God's will? Well, I don't love my wife, so I'll go shack up with somebody else. Wrong. That's not God's will. You have a problem. You need to reconcile your marriage. Right. Or I have an issue with temper. I'm going to go out and hang out with my buds in a bar and get drunk. No. If that's your solution, it's not in accordance with God's will. It says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So we need to check our solution with God's will and see if it's in accordance with that. Number four. Invite God's presence into your problem. So it's not one thing, it is one thing to ask God, does this make sense? And see if it follows God's will. But see, that's not the real thing here. See, the sons of prophets say, hey, we have this problem. We want to go get all this wood and build us a place there. And Elijah says, go ye. But look at verse 3. It says, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. See, what they wanted, they wanted Elijah's presence in the solution. And we know from the rest of the story, they needed Elijah there because they had an issue that was coming up. And folks, we need to have God in our decision process. We need to have God in our solution process. And when we're going through that path to take us to a solution to the problem and getting rid of that problem, God needs to be with us all the way. Every step of the way. Ezra had a problem. His problem was is that almost 20 years in the past, there was a decree given out by Cyrus to go and rebuild the temple. And so a bunch of captives left Babylon to go build the temple. Well, when they started laying the foundation, they started doing all this stuff, and the enemies from around said, you can't rebuild that house. And they sent letters to the king and said, stop the work. And the house laid waste. Then Ezra comes on the scene and he hears what's happening here, that the house of God is not being built, that all the material was sent, everything they needed to solve that issue was sent with them, but nothing was being done. And so he goes to the king and he says, search and see if there was a decree to build the house of God. And so they searched the records and they found the decree. And Ezra got permission to take another group of people from Babylon back to Jerusalem for the specific purposes of helping build the house of God. Folks, every one of us in here has a responsibility to help build the house of God. So in the process of this, the king, Darius, gives a command and says, hey, whatever wood they need, whatever materials they need, whatever money they need, whatever resources they need, do it. But then there was an issue of making this travel by caravan for over several hundred miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. And the king offered Ezra a military escort. But here is Ezra's reply. In verses 21 through 23 of Ezra chapter 8, he says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Havilah, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. See, Ezra had he recognized what the problem is. He took ownership of it. They're checking what they're planning on doing in accordance with God. Well, they had a fast. They would afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. And for our little ones and for all our substance. But look at the next verse. It says, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. And see, what Ezra said is what Ezra says. He says, God with me is enough to take on the enemies that are afflicting my fellow kinsmen, my fellow Israelites. Says, we have God on our side. We don't need an army. Because if God be for us, who can be what? Against us. Because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was what? Entreated of us. What a wonderful thing. And so Ezra and this whole entourage of thousands of people go with no military escort, and they go to Jerusalem, and the temple is built. So the sons of the prophets here say, hey, Elijah, can we go? You think it's God's will that we go? We go to Jordan, we build a house because the one that we're in is too small. And Elisha says, that sounds like a great idea. And every one of them went. And then before they said, but before we go, Elijah, can we ask you to come along with us? Because we know that you're a man of God. We know that you have wisdom. We know that you commune with God, have a relationship with Him. And he said, I'll go. He said, I will go. We need to invite God's presence into our problems. Number five, go with solving the problem as the goal. So it says, so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They didn't take a respite. They didn't take a sabbatical. They said, we want to go to Jordan. We want to build a house there. We want to get the wood there. They went to Jordan, and they weren't deterred from the task. Once they got there, they cut the wood. And everyone is working. Everyone is taking ownership in this. Everyone has a chance to do something. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 5, the Bible says this, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He what? Shall bring it to pass. Shall bring it to pass. Moses is dead. Joshua is now going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And it's time. And Joshua said, God, I want you with me. I need you. This is a big number of people here. There are many fenced cities there. We heard the report and nothing has changed. Nothing changed in Ezra's case. Nothing had changed in Joshua's case. I was there. I saw what the issue is. And he prayed to God. And basically he says, and the answer is, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the what? All the law. You know, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, we need to do all the law. Trust in God. That'll give you the ability. Trust in Jesus, that'll give you the ability to do the law. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Keep the goal in focus. I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let us put aside all every weight and keep focus. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sat on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. He says, look, do what I commanded Moses to do, but he couldn't do it. He says, now you're up to bat. Don't deviate from the left or the right. You go and do exactly what you've been commanded to, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What a promise. What a promise. See, if you invite God into your problem, and he'll give you a solution. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so we need to go with solving the problem as the goal, knowing that we've invited God into it, knowing that the solution we have is in accordance with God's will, knowing that we have ownership of the problem, recognize that there was a problem in the first place. Lastly, you know what happens when you start down a road to solve a problem? There's obstacles. There's distractions. There's problems that happen. And so these guys are out chopping wood. They're not chucking wood. They're chopping wood. And an axe head falls off. Oh no! I borrowed that axe head! Oh no! I'm just a son. I'm just a poor preacher boy. I can't go. I have no money. I have no money. I can't buy another axe head. Elijah! Ah! I can't do this. It was borrowed. I got to take it back. I can't. It's gone. It's down in the water. What would have happened if they hadn't asked Elijah to come along with them? Oh, well. Let's set up a FundMe account for an axe head. Okay? No, I couldn't do it. Or we go back and say, sorry, I lost the axe head. You know, iron was really precious back then. There was no way that they could replace this thing. It was something they needed. And you know something? God knew they needed that axe head too. He knew that. Elijah did also. And no, and we see what happens. Something that didn't have sonar, didn't have a magnet. You know, it had all these other things. You know, it didn't have a scuba gear. You know, didn't have an underwater camera. He had nothing of that stuff. And what Elijah does is an amazing thing. He just throws a stick in there. And then all of a sudden the iron flips up. Now, that defies the law of physics. But, you know, if God made physics, then He can change it. And so, because the man of God's there, God solves this problem for him. And they can go on merrily chopping wood at the place that they were supposed to be at to build a house that they needed because it was in God's will. Matthew 17, verse 20. So, the disciples had a problem. While three of them were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other nine were trying to cast out this demon, and they couldn't do it. And then Christ comes down, and the father of the child comes to Christ and says, hey, I brought this boy, my son, to your disciples to cast out the demon, and they couldn't do it. They've been doing it for others, but they couldn't do it for me. And Christ says this. The disciples said, why couldn't we do this? You know, sometimes, why do I have these problems? We saw at the first that these problems are to draw us closer to God. Or they could turn us further away from God. Because if we try to solve problems ourselves, we'll mess up. We'll get frustrated. We'll get angry and we'll fail. But my Bible tells me, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye ask what you will and shall be given unto you. It shall be done unto you. So Christ says this. So Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. And you know something? All of us are trapped in problems. And they confine us. And sometimes the problems look like a great big pit. And we all can do is look up. We can't climb out. We can't burrow through it. We can't jump out of it. We can't do any of this stuff. And we think that the problem is a mountain. He says this. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Oh, that axe is in the water. I know where it went in. I don't know where it's in. Maybe a catfish got it. But God delivered that. Elijah, you're going to throw a what in the water? A stick? Come on. That don't work. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. And they got the axe head back and they built the house. Amen. And their problem was solved. See, God is in the problem solving business. And what we need to understand is, do we need have a problem that we need to give to God? I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know what's going on the other side of the camera. But God does.
Amen.
And He's willing to show Himself strong on behalf who call out to Him. He's willing to move heaven and earth to make things happen. I can't wait to talk to Paul and Silas in heaven. They had a problem. They were in jail. Wrongly. But God worked it out and sent an earthquake. And the jailer and all of his family got saved that night. And Paul's ministry went on. See, there's nothing too big for God. And if you say your problems are too big, then your God's not big enough. And you need to increase your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask that You just be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to lay our problems at Your feet. And Father, help us, Lord, to know that You can solve it. And Father, help us to bring You along every part of the way. Help us to recognize that we have issues. Help us to take ownership and say, this is my issue. Help us to seek Your will. Help us to invite You along. Help us to see You solve problems along the way. Help us to be committed to You. Lord, we give us this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.